I guess we can just have the pizza talk whenever Rachel gets here.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's an important conversation to have.
She's the one who, crazy enough, somehow likes deep dish pizza. And the more people I talk to, it seems like that there are people out there that enjoy deep dish pizza.
I don't understand it.
But I don't.
I guess. It. Yeah.
I think they were born differently.
Right.
Like there's a different genetic makeup.
Sure.
Of those people.
That is not only sensible, I would say probable.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Troy podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jackson Safon. I'm joined by Max Goldwasser. Max,
yo.
What is up?
The ceiling is actually currently right above me.
Okay.
Yeah. If we're asking what is literally
wasn't,
up.
Wasn't.
Okay.
This is the Sound of Troy podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Sound of Troy, on SoundCloud, iTunes, Sound of Troy as well. Please subscribe, rate, 5 stars only.
5 stars.
On iTunes. It would just help boost our egos.
Yeah. Which I don't really know if they need help boosting so far right now.
Right. But just as a favor.
Just, yeah. I'm down to get my ego a little bit better.
So, Max, I was going to start off this podcast with some talk about pizza because USC played Notre Dame this past weekend, as everybody knows, which is close enough to Chicago. So there's a lot of talk about pizza, Chicago pizza specifically, if you want to even call it pizza. But Rachel Frain, one of our co-hosts, is not here at the moment. She's on her way, apparently. She's dropping somebody
allegedly.
Off. Allegedly. She's dropping somebody off at the airport, being a good Samaritan that she is. So if she shows, we'll have the pizza talk when she gets here. If not, we'll just trash deep dish pizza on her own.
That's fine. I'm going to do it whether she's here or not.
She has a lot of really bizarre pizza takes. So mm-hmm. let's get into the sports then, if we're going to postpone the pizza talk. Is that okay?
Sports. I'm a fan. Let's do it.
As everybody knows, USC took a walloping to Notre Dame this past weekend, pretty much dashing their hopes of the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And while it didn't actually hurt their chances in the Pac-12, technically, it just sort of hurts the soul to lose like that. So while this is a very, as they say about podcasts, a free-flowing conversation, I think we're going to each get a minute, a couple minutes, however long you want, really, of just an uninterrupted rant about the Notre Dame game. We'll reconvene. We won't spend too much time on the game because it's kind of, I feel like it's almost one of those that you kind of got to just throw the tape away and move on. But I'll let you go first. You can say your piece. I'm going to time it. So exactly how long
that's
you
fine.
Take.
Yeah. You might need to set a timer because I could go on and on and on.
Oh no, I'm going to let you go. I just meant I'm going to time it with the stopwatch and see
okay.
how long you go for.
That's fine.
You ready?
Let's all right, do it.
Do your worst.
Okay. Well, first of all, I went to this game, and there was a lot of USC people that went to this game. I will say in the beginning, I wanted, you know, these Notre Dame fans are so nice. They're like high-fiving me as I'm walking around the stadium in my USC shirt, which I have to do. I do have to say I did clean it before this game because I went on an away trip. So if we want to know the real reason why USC lost, it is, again, my fault. Enough of that. But it was nice to be, you know, welcomed by all these Notre Dame people because, wow, it was, once the game started, things took a turn very quickly, and I wasn't getting screamed at by all the people around me, but I feel like I should have been because my family and I came in very confident to that game. This, in my mind, is worse than the Alabama loss completely. That Alabama game last year, USC's still trying to figure out who they are as a team. No real starting quarterback yet. They're kind of getting used to Clay Helton as the true head coach. And Alabama took it from USC. But this one, USC just gave the game away. It was like they didn't even deserve to be on the field. It's like a high school men against boys is how I would describe it. Three turnovers on the first three possessions. It was literally first opening snap, fumble. Next possession, interception. Next possession, muffed punt. Notre Dame gets the ball, scores. Notre Dame scored on all three of those turnovers. Oh, and what did T. Martin have to say about it? He says, oh, you know, well, when we did things right, we scored. Well, yeah, T. Martin, you scored twice, but how about every other time that you let that you gave Notre Dame the ball and they capitalized on every single mistake? You can't just be like, oh, yeah, well, when we did some things right. You did what game were you watching? Not once. Yeah, sure. USC put up 14 points, but I didn't see them doing anything right basically all game. And some of these timeouts, like I saw a couple timeouts called. You call a timeout, and I'm seeing USC run plays up the middle, you know, just quick throws to the outside. There's no creativity still in these plays. And after a timeout, you just can't get anything flowing. And finally, I want to talk about Sam Darnold himself, because if your team is getting beaten that badly by a rival, I expect you to be motivating your players there with them on the sidelines, you know, being the leader that you're supposed to be. Instead, he's you know, he is a very quiet, reserved guy, but that's all. But it's he's that quiet, reserved guy off the field, but he's still the same guy on the field too. He's not the leader in the truest sense of the word. He's not the guy that's going to motivate your team, rally them back to win a game. Sure, he can do that with his play, but he can't. USC's down at halftime, and everyone is getting in a huddle before the start of the third quarter. Sam Darnold, where is he? He's walking to the sideline, just going to warm up, throw a couple passes. Sure, yeah, he needs to warm up that arm. It definitely needs some warming up. He you know, but I think that he's the leader of this team, and it's falling apart. I don't know. The fact that USC is still involved in Pac-12 play is almost embarrassing. Like, they do not deserve to be in that discussion whatsoever, especially the way they've played and the way they lost, and they should have more than two losses. But this game overall, very embarrassing. It was tough to call myself a USC fan after this. I knew USC, you know, we all called the loss last week going into the game, but I don't think anyone expected humiliation like this against a rival opponent. And I could keep going on and on and on about this, about who I think should go, what I think should change, but all in all, just terrible. And I don't know how USC is still involved in Pac-12 play, because, like I said, they don't deserve it, but somehow they're still in the run.
Well, that was 4 minutes and 10 seconds.
You're joking.
That was good. That felt very like sports talk radio. I mean, it's warranted.
I mean,
USC played.
I mean, passionate about what happened last week.
Not
like
wrong.
I really am.
I'm just, wow, that was just a lot.
Yeah.
But I like it, though. There was a lot of good stuff in there.
You want to
hear my like sports talk radio guy thing? It's not going to be a whole rant about it, but just on T. Martin, I just thought of this, really.
Okay.
So is his name T. Martin? I think it should be Flea Martin, because he should probably flee and get out of here before he gets attacked by all these USC fans.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what, if his name hasn't changed already, he's definitely fleeing.
Exactly.
He's doing one of the two.
So my thing about the game is obviously getting off to the slow start it puts you in a hole early on. And that's something that can be difficult to dig yourself out of. And a lot of mental mistakes. It didn't really seem like the scheme was that wrong early on. They just sort of made a lot of dumb, weird mistakes. Sort of similar to the game the week before. But just USC obviously was able to just sort of turn it around against Utah, whereas in Notre Dame, in a much more hostile environment, they weren't able to do that there. One of my issues, and I get that this is maybe nitpicking because the game was theoretically out of reach at this point, and you had Matt Fink coming in for Sam Darnold because of the injury.
Because of the air quote injury.
Right, whatever you want to say about that. But just at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, with more than just 2 minutes left when the game is really over, Helton's punting on fourth down. I mean, and on the plus side of the field, I don't really get that decision. I mean, I understand that if you're down by that many points, you're kind of conceding and you have the backup quarterback in, so the odds are low of a comeback, but like, come on.
I don't want to, is this your rant? Because I don't want to interrupt, but either way, like, I need to say that was ridiculous.
It doesn't make
you're
any
giving
sense.
Up on the game. And you're just adding insult to injury for your own team. There's still time left in the game. Even if a comeback isn't within reach, you still got to finish out the game, act like you tried. These guys are putting their hearts out on the field, and they're just giving up on the sideline. Like there's no football left to be played. Like, people didn't travel all the way. Like, the team didn't travel all the way to earn this game, to fight and battle. And nope, just punting. We got a backup guy in. We're just going to punt every single time. Three and outs, blah, blah, blah. No, this is... This is also when you need to learn and practice and work on those things, even if the game is out of reach. It's still clearly you're not a perfect enough team to be able to punt every single time you want to. And that's just given up. And that was also just embarrassing on top of everything that was happening. But continue.
Yeah, it was just a really bizarre all-around experience to watch. It was not as much sad as it was just jarring. Like, it was just weird to see. It was just weird to see the team look so helpless. Because even this season and last season, aside from the Alabama game, where there were times that USC looked bad, but they've been able to just turn it around and not like flipping a switch. I don't really like that term, because it's not like these teams were just like sort of just lackadaisical and all of a sudden they were trying really. Like, I don't know. I don't really buy the flip a switch thing, but they've just sort of been able to pull it out and turn it around. Whereas this time it just kept compounding and they couldn't get anything rolling. And it was just a really odd experience.
They need to find that switch to flip.
Yeah, they
again.
Need to find it.
Wherever
I guess.
It is, if it exists.
I don't know. And I'm not really sure what the change is, because a lot of people are calling for T. Martin's job now. But I mean, the defense played pretty horrible. The defense was put in a lot of tough spots.
Yeah, that's like, the thing is, as bad as T. Martin might have been running the game, and as much as you want to blame the coaches, which I'm sure they are at fault, but like, this was the players too. So many unforced errors that you're talking about in the game. I talked about the three opening possessions. Those are three turnovers right away that Notre Dame capitalized on. So they start out 21-0. How do you come back from that in a game like this? Like, you're just digging yourself a hole with every single turnover you give up. And so, yeah, USC gets off to slow starts, and that's just, like I said, they're digging a hole that they can't get out of when you give up 21, 28 points to begin the game, and you're just battling your way back the entire time. They were really out of it within those first three possessions already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much more to say about
that.
It was really just a bizarre experience.
Bizarre experience. But, it was my first time, I will say.
Yeah.
It was my first time in that area. I'd never been to Chicago. I stayed in South Bend, which was kind of cool.
Okay.
Nice little culture there. And just pretty campus. Like, I can't really complain about much. I wanted to go in and be like, oh, this sucks here at Notre Dame. But honestly, like, it was all pretty nice. Like I said, the people were very nice, and Chicago itself was awesome.
Yeah, I only heard good things about the experience.
Yeah, except for that 4 hours during the game and about 1 to 2 hours after the game where I couldn't really say or do anything. Outside of those hours, I was, you know, having a good time, was there with my family.
Nice. I spoke to one of my good buddies, Marshall Charrington, who is the head manager, or one of the co-head manager, student manager for the football team, and he said that the football game experience there and the field and the facilities and everything is the best he's ever experienced in college football.
Which is
saying something, because he's obviously been to a lot of games at this point, been to a lot of different stadiums. So
it was still like 1 or 2 days before game day, and he's sending me pictures or snapshots of the stadium saying that he's already having the best time ever, and the game hadn't even started, which I thought was hilarious.
So yeah, that's a bummer, but life goes on, the season goes on, there's more to come. Big game this week. So Max, I'm gonna play sort of a bit of a devil's advocate. Okay?
All right.
Also, apologies if there's any audio issues. We just had to switch locations, a little bit of a double booking scenario. But does it sound like grainy to you? Or is that just these headphones?
I think it's just the headphones.
Okay, whatever. Anyways. I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Let's hear it.
Yes, it was a bad loss to Notre Dame. Embarrassing, you could say. A lot of points. But here's the thing. Coming into the season, did you think the USC was going to go undefeated? I didn't, personally.
Not at all. I mean, no. But see, the thing is, if you're still playing with what they had on the line and they're showing up like they did in that game, in a rivalry game, plus I was there to watch the bloodbath. And yeah, I mean, USC still does have a little hope, and they weren't, you know, I didn't think they were going to go undefeated too, but it's just the way they've been playing leading up to that. and just the loss itself was just so bad that it was almost worth like two or three losses.
Okay, but hold on. Neither of us thought they were going to go undefeated. And coming into the year, what were the games we thought they could lose? At Washington State, tough road game on a Friday.
I thought the two games they were losing were at Washington State and at Notre Dame. Okay,
exactly.
But I didn't think
All I'm saying is, people are freaking out. I talked to some fans who are saying they're not even going to watch the game on Saturday.
Did you watch what happened?
Do you realize how important this game is on Saturday?
Yeah, that's the... Who cares about this season anymore?
Oh my God. No one cares. What? God,
USC's going to the Holiday Bowl again.
It's such a flawed philosophy.
If it doesn't, like, sure, yes, I didn't expect that they were going to lose, or I knew they were going to lose, and I probably thought it was going to happen to these teams. It's just the way that they've been doing it. It's the way that they've been playing, even in the wins. You don't have hope for this team, and you knew something bad was going to happen along the way, and there it is. It all came piling in one game, just everything handed to us, and yeah, I completely understand why fans would be that embarrassed to not want to watch. No, dude, I was so sad. I didn't even want to talk after, and sports should not affect you that much where you don't want to talk for a couple hours.
Nonsense.
Why is that nonsense?
Because USC is still in the driver's seat to win the Pac-12.
Which is just shows you how bad the Pac-12 is every single year. They just beat up on each other.
We came into this year expecting they were going to lose games. And these were the two that we pegged.
No. We were expecting them to lose games. No one else. The team.
Okay. Delusional fans were expecting them to go undefeated. Yes. Sure. But, I mean, this game is still so important.
Jackson, do you think that this team is good?
Do I think this team
That's the
is
thing is,
good.
Like, there was always hope throughout the entire season. Okay, they played bad this game. Now they're going to turn around. This game just proved that whatever hope you had left for the season, it's gone. Sure, they control their own destiny.
I don't think that's true.
But in terms of how confident you feel about this team, and they win the Pac-12, as of now, it doesn't look like they deserve it.
Do I think this team is good? Not necessarily. However, this coming weekend, they play at Arizona State. Arizona State also only has one loss in the conference. Mm-hmm. The following week, USC hosts Arizona, also has only one conference loss.
Yeah.
So winning these this week and then the following week against Arizona,
you've cemented
would pretty much
place.
Cement yeah. the South, right?
Yeah.
And if you win the South, then you're going to face most likely either Washington or Washington State in the Pac-12 championship game. There's a chance Stanford still, at this point, they only have mm-hmm. one conference loss.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to USC. But most likely Washington State, right?
Yes.
Probably going to be a top 15 opponent.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how we can say the season is lost if there's still a chance to win the Pac-12 South. Playing in the Pac-12 championship would be against a top 15 opponent, maybe even top 10, maybe even top 5 if Washington wins out the rest of the way.
Dude,
and then winning that game would cement USC into a New York Six Bowl game.
It's more just like they would be winning by default. Like Colorado getting into the Pac-12 championship last year. Did they deserve it? No, but
yes,
it's just the way the did Colorado deserve to be in the Pac-12? No, they didn't. Everyone just beats up. It's like the Big Ten does every single year. Why they never have a playoff team in it. Because you just beat up on each other.
Look,
and
man.
It doesn't leave anyone there with any strong record. There's just like so much interleague battling going on.
That's
where
a crazy dark philosophy.
Yeah, I mean,
championship or bust, really? Like, I get that USC is this historic program and they have so much on the line and they have all this talent. So,
well,
you're expecting
they're not going to the championship anymore. Number two, for one. Number two, Sam Darnold, who's projected to be the number one overall pick, is now thinking of staying in college.
Which is always a possibility.
Think of what happened.
Also always a possibility.
Just think of what, and if he does go to the NFL, he's definitely not going in the top five, I think. He doesn't deserve to. He has a lot more left to learn.
Certainly.
But that's the thing is, you come into the season with so much hype, and maybe one or two games you play poorly in. But even the wins is what I'm talking... Like, there has been just one strong outing all season, and that was when Stanford wasn't even a good team. They won that game. Other than that, I have seen absolutely nothing that makes me confident in this team to pick it up for the rest of the season, because clearly they're already this far in, and there's no chemistry, there's no... They've no identity as a team. They look like they're running around with their heads cut off. They have no idea what they're doing out there.
So if USC flips a switch, as we were saying.
Flip the switch.
They beat Arizona State. They beat Arizona.
Which shouldn't really be considered flipping the switch.
They beat Colorado, and then they beat USC, or UCLA, excuse me. Finish off the year. They play in the Pac-12 championship. They beat Washington. They end up in a New Year's Six bowl game. Is that not a successful season?
No.
Like, philosophically?
No.
Is that not a successful season?
For other programs, sure. But not USC, not the...
Okay, hold up.
And I'm not just saying...
Was last year a successful season?
Winning
the Rose Bowl.
See, I don't really base success off of final record and you know where you end up like that. It's more just like, did we look like a good team during the year? Is there hope moving
forward?
Right,
but that's what I'm saying.
Last year, 100% success. USC found their quarterback. There was a flow going on. Lots of positives to take away from last year. And it's also about how you end the year, not really how you start it. This year is almost the exact opposite. You keep saying, you sound like the opposite that we've been saying all year. Like, oh, people are still giving USC a shot when we all know that they're not as good as everyone thinks. You think USC is just going to cruise by the rest of the schedule
Pac-12? No, I don't. I don't think that
they're
going to cruise by
anything. There's about a 0% chance USC wins the Pac-12.
All right.
0%.
Sports talk radio guy. All I'm saying is it's too early to dismiss the season as over. I'm not saying that what I've seen on the field is going to turn into this switch being flipped. I'm not necessarily saying I'm expecting that. I'm just saying that...
You sound like you're expecting
I'm saying it. That's a possibility.
Sure, it's a possibility.
And so to write off the season eight games into a 12, potentially 13 or 14-game season is crazy.
Do you think USC is having a successful
season? It's crazy. No, but that doesn't mean that they can't.
What would be a successful season for you? If USC makes it to the Pac-12, loses, is that a success?
Makes it to the Pac-12 championship?
If you say yes,
no,
I'm
it would
just
not
wow.
be success if they lost in the Pac-12 championship.
Okay.
But if they win the Pac-12 championship, which would probably mean winning their last four regular season games.
Yes.
Winning the Pac-12 championship. And then even depending on their opponent, even in a close loss in a New Year's Six bowl game, I would lean towards a success. Winning a New Year's Six bowl game, regardless of the bowl game, would be a massive success every season. I think it should be for every program except Alabama. No other program has shown the kind of consistent dominance over the past however long, 5-8 years, that anything but a New Year's Six bowl game victory would not be a success. It doesn't make any sense.
If I asked you at the end of last season, USC didn't win the Pac-12 or didn't make it into the playoff,
You said they would have won a New Year's Six bowl game, but didn't make the playoff. I would have said that would have been a successful season. Absolutely.
Yeah, you wouldn't have predicted everything that's been going on, though. If you look at it on paper, that's the thing is, like, if you take it just based on paper, they're not that bad. They just have two losses on the season. They have a good chance to win the rest of them. But I haven't seen enough to make me as a voter, if I'm voting someone into a game, I don't want USC playing in my game. That's not exciting football right now.
All I'm saying is the season's not over.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm done, like, raising my expectations for this team.
That's my thing.
No, I've had low expectations.
How we flipped, because I've had probably one of the lower expectations of our podcast group, at least.
Yes.
Of some of the U.S. Obviously, I don't have the lowest expectations of all USC media members, but I was on the lower end of the spectrum, I would say. And now, it's not that I'm all of a sudden high on them. This is kind of where I thought we would be. Not in a 49-14 loss.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah,
I was kind of expecting 6-2. So I'm not really shocked. And because of that, I don't understand the outrage.
It's because of how USC is losing.
It.
And the fact that because they just lost 49-14, there is no real hope for... I mean, there was still hope for the playoff. There was still hope for a lot of other things. Now that, which was... I mean, as much as we want to, like, say, oh, it could be a successful season if something else happened. Like, no. People wanted a chance at the playoffs right. this year.
And I hear you. So did I. Yeah. I wanted to go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I want it all. It would have been so fun.
Yeah.
But my thing is, what kind of, like, at this point, I'm calling out the fans more than I'm calling out any person on USC. What kind of fan are you if you're ready to abandon a team after one loss?
Well, see, these are the same people that actually had hope for this team throughout the season.
Like, USC fans, unrealistic fans, USC fans overall are often delusional.
It's kind of crazy how like, the football team still has the stigma from the Pete Carroll days in that people just expect USC to be the best team ever entering every single season. But no. This team has a lot to work on all the time. They don't really, I mean, there's no true identity. I said that before, but Clay Helton's under the hot seat. T. Martin, Tyler Helton. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of questions around this team right now. And it's not exactly where you thought you'd be at the beginning of the season, where you think Clay Helton's the savior. Sam Darnold's a magician. He's going number one pick in the draft. We have a lot of new athletic players coming in, which I haven't really seen used that much this year. Overall, I can understand why those people are upset completely, but those are also the same people that had some hope throughout the entire year. And I appreciate you for playing devil's advocate, but I am completely also on their side. Like, this team is tough to watch, so I don't really blame them for not wanting to watch them.
That's fair.
It's just not good football.
You're right.
It's just not.
But regardless, there is going to be a game this weekend. Whether USC fans watch or not,
yes.
There's going to be a game this weekend, and it's a big one. Arizona State. Yeah, they've been playing really well. They start off the season 1-2. Losing to San Diego State and Texas Tech, not good. San Diego State's look better now.
Yeah.
That's might not being as bad of a loss. But now all of a sudden, they've won two straight, including
three of the last four.
Over, at the time, number 20. Yeah, three lost four. At the time, number 24 ranked Oregon, and they lost to Stanford. Then they beat number 5 Washington. Not only did they beat them, they held them to 7 points.
That's tough to do.
And then they go into Utah and lay the smackdown 30-10. Not that Utah's this amazing team,
no.
But going to Utah. And
tough
more than
to
10 points? I mean, it's impressive.
Yeah.
And Arizona State's not exactly a program that's known for their defense. They haven't been that good of a defense up until the last two games. They let up 34 points to Stanford. They let up 30 to San Diego State. And all of a sudden, 17 allowed in the last two games. But also, on the offensive side of the ball, they got a lot of playmakers. You got quarterback Manny Wilkins. 67% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's also rushed for 3 touchdowns. And in the passing game, they have N'Keal Harry, who's a monster. 6'4", 215, leading the team by a lot. 51 catches, over 600 yards, 3 receiving touchdowns. Two-headed dynamic duo in the backfield, Kalen Ballage, DeMario Richard. They got a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things on their offense that makes it tough to defend.
Yeah, there's I'm really looking at those two running backs, Ballage and
Richard.
Yeah. So these two guys combined for 205 yards last week in that win at Utah, which we all know has a good defense. And if we think back to last week, also talking about USC's team allowing 377 rush yards to Notre Dame.
Is that a lot?
That is a healthy amount of rushing yards.
It's a healthy portion.
That is a healthy portion.
Please,
yeah.
Sir,
so
may I have some more?
So what? No. Please, sir, no more. No more. Although I can see again, my mismatch for this week is the defensive line again. I said it last week, and I think it's going to happen again. If USC's D line does not control the line of scrimmage, they're going to have a lot of trouble. And I also noticed last week, I talked about how they need to contain and make. People like the Notre Dame quarterback and ASU's quarterback just stay in the pocket and make them throw and make them beat you with their arm because they're not good at doing that, or that's not their strong suit.
What's funny about that, though, is that strategy only really works if your cornerbacks are playing well. And coming into the season, we thought that was going to be a massive strength for USC, right? Iman Marshall had NFL hopes, first-round NFL hopes if he played really well this season. Jack Jones was supposed to be a rising star. And through the first four, five, six games even, they were like up and down, but we were pretty hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
They were up and down, but hopeful. and then they looked horrendous the last couple games.
Yeah, they have. But the other thing is, yeah, you need to get containment, but that's not enough. Like, they weren't even getting containment, but there was no rush to the quarterback whatsoever. I mean,
still
he
having
was getting
still
so
having
much
quarter out is tough.
Time in the pocket, though, last week. I mean, come on. USC doesn't have someone that can maybe fill the. How many good recruits do they get in every single year? And they can't find someone who can go rush a passer and create some havoc back there in the backfield.
They're just doubling Uchenna and some of the other guys like Rasheem Green.
Yeah.
Those guys got to step up.
But if a quarterback has all the time in the world and then can run it whenever he wants, there's zero. It's going to be very hard to beat a team like that, especially when you can't score on your own offensive end. The other thing I want to say is that Arizona State is number one in the Pac-12 in time of possession, which if we go back to last week again, I said USC needs to control the time of possession or else their defense is going to get completely worn down by Notre Dame's rushing attack because they're just going to go run at every single player. And look at what happened. Notre Dame dominated time of possession. USC had short offensive possessions and left their defense out there hanging. They're all getting tired. There was three possessions in a row where the defense gets a stop, then they have to come back out. Then they give up a touchdown because USC turned it off over, but then they have to come right back onto the field for another turnover, and they're just getting run out of gas out there on the field. And so I'll say it again. If USC doesn't control time of possession this week, which will be hard, on the road against an ASU team that has been improving, then unfortunately it's going to come down to another close game. USC has been in those basically every single game this season. So fans, if you're not wanting your stress levels to go up again after watching USC football, then maybe tune out of this one. But because I feel like it's going to be a lot of that same stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right that they really do have to get Ronald Jones going. Last week, he only had 12 carries for 32 yards, 2.7 per carry.
Yeah.
Whereas the week before, the win against Utah, 17 for 111 and the touchdown, obviously. So, I mean, getting your running game going not only helps the time of possession, it keeps the defense and the defensive line not being able to sort of just pin their ears back and go after the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to open the offense up with play action. It does so many things for your offense.
It completely opens up the passing game too, because
right.
then you got the defensive backs and the linebackers with their eyes in the backfield. They're going to bite on every little
right.
handoff,
get
play
a lot
action.
Of single high safety.
See, that's the other thing is, even if USC struggles to open up and get the running game going, they just kind of, or when they can't do that, they just stray away from any play action, which is going to get no biting from any of the players on the other side of the ball. You're just going to have no room for confusion, and then it makes it a lot easier to defend pass plays. So I think they're going to need a lot more play action this week, and yeah, control the time of possession, keep your own defense off the field, and keep theirs on the field and keep them tired, and then maybe they can actually wear another team down, which I haven't seen all season.
That's a lot.
Yeah, again, I feel like I just went on another rant.
That's okay. It's going to be an interesting game because one team is historically a lot better, USC. One team's been playing a lot better recently in Arizona State, but both are just... Because it seemed like they can just sort of go any way any given week.
Yeah.
Like, it would not surprise me if Arizona State looked dominant again. USC looked really bad, continued to after Notre Dame. And Arizona State at home won by like 10 or 12 points.
It would not surprise me whatsoever.
But it also at the same time would not surprise me if USC just sort of put it together, played a little bit looser with the pressure of the playoff not looming over them now. Arizona State sort of reverts back to just a little bit where they were earlier in the season. All of a sudden, USC wins by 10 or 14.
I don't see that happening whatsoever. I don't think any sort of magic spell is randomly going to be cast on this team because they're going to Arizona State
but
and
that's,
playing Arizona
It's not
State.
About that. It's just the fact.
Dude, I've been waiting for this team to turn it around all season. They're only getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I don't think they're going to find a way to cure whatever's going on there in one game, in a road game, in a tough matchup.
I don't know, man. It seems a little bit too reactionary to me because
I've waited. We're 8 games into the season. I'm not reactionary.
After the second half of Utah, the bandwagon was full, dude.
For USC?
Yeah, they were down. Dude. They were down 21-7 at halftime. They come back and win 28-27.
That doesn't matter. Like they're trying to climb back, like they do in every single game. That's not a recipe.
I understand that.
That does not make me confident in that team whatsoever. It just showed me again that USC is not as good as I thought they were coming into the season. It was another ugly game of football, and they squeaked out another win that they didn't deserve. That's what that game was to me.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, look, you're being overly pessimistic, and that's okay.
I feel like my name should be Jackson Saffron.
You're being overly pessimistic, and that's fine. I understand, because I'm normally that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. You're also being completely and totally irrational, but that's okay.
Okay, yeah. I completely disagree with you on that one. I think we all know if my name is Jackson Saffron, I'm the completely rational person.
Right, exactly. Okay, Max. I think I need you to give a prediction.
A prediction?
For this weekend's game.
I can give you my prediction.
I don't even want to give you a prediction for what USC's season-long record is, because I feel like you're going to predict them to lose four straight.
But, no, I'm but, see that.
No, no, no. One
I'm
game
not
at a
that
time.
Pessimistic.
One game at a time.
One game at a time. And as
the spread is, what, 3.5?
Even with what I've been saying, I still think USC can pull out a win.
Jeez.
It's just I don't think people should go into this game expecting, oh, it's Arizona State.
Oh, no.
Or USC.
Right.
We're going to roll over them. And
if they win, it won't be because of that.
If they win, I wouldn't be surprised. If we win, I don't think it will be a commanding win.
Sure. So the line is USC minus 3.5, and the over-under
is 59.
Okay.
I think in college football, it's pretty hard to win or lose by just 3 points. I don't know. That's just it never really – these teams don't really kick field goals is the other thing. So I don't think it's going to come down to 3.5 points. I say
– USC has three games within 3 points this year.
Three games within 3 points. But I'm pretty sure
2-1 in those games.
Yeah, none of those games involved a field goal. One of those games was just for yeah. So I'm going with USC 31, ASU 24. Each team does kick a field goal.
Wait, hold up. Earlier, like 2 minutes ago, I said it wouldn't be surprising if USC.
You said 10-12.
Okay, and you're saying 7 is so far off.
I mean. I thought I was already ready to react with whatever you were going to say. but yeah, and that is probably a little too far. I would think it's going to be about a 4-7 point victory
right.
for the Trojans. Stays under. I'm pretty sure every single game has stayed under for the last
few.
The
way USC's offense looked under seems pretty safe.
But yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
I'm going to go. I think I'm also going under.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 30-24.
Okay.
USC wins. I just think they have enough. I think they're going to just, all you got to do is just get better than the week before. And I think they're going to have a hard week of practice, and they are going to play a bit better than they, I mean, a lot better.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard to play better
right, exactly.
than they did last
play
week.
Significantly better
yeah.
than against Notre Dame.
And they're gonna have to.
It's just an entirely different environment, an entirely different mindset. So yeah, I think USC pulls out the victory. Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties this week.
Boo.
So we don't have the ability to bring Connor on via Skype. But Connor, being the gentleman that he is, emailed me the questions. So we will have those. But Max, we have a couple. We also have some food-related things to talk about. Would you rather go food-related now and then trivia, or trivia and then food?
I'm so hungry right now, so let's just talk about food because it's already on my mind.
Okay. We have a couple things. We have some pizza talk, and we also have favorite Halloween candy, because before Halloween is going to be between now and the next time we get a podcast out. So we'll talk pizza first. There was a lot of pizza talk because, well, talking about food and debating food is just fun. But also because, like we've been talking about, USC played against Notre Dame. They went near Chicago. A lot of talk about deep dish. Rachel Frayn, I believe she said she was a supporter of deep dish. No? Connor McGlynn did.
Yeah, Rachel was shocked when we said we didn't like deep dish whatsoever.
And that's insane, because deep dish is horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think deep dish should be considered pizza. Like, it's if you put...
It's just bread.
It's if you made a pizza out of a bread bowl. Like, that's gross.
It's, yeah, someone just decided to throw marinara sauce and cheese.
It's so much sauce, it's so much cheese, it's so much bread. It's just too much of everything. If you want to say that deep dish pizza isn't pizza, if you want to just categorize it as some other type of food.
Like
entirely,
a pie.
Like a pie, or like...
I hate when someone calls a pizza, like Blaze calls
know.
Pizzas pies.
I mean, that's an East Coast thing.
I don't like that.
But
well, I don't like that then.
I don't know. I don't even know what category would fall under, but it's definitely not good pizza.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm all about the thin crust or hand tossed if we're gonna get real.
Right. Not pan pizza though. I'm out on pan pizza.
No, I mean that kind of. I feel like that's
just give me the New York, Boston, the Northeast style pizza. All
I'm
day.
Trying to like fold up my pizza, yes. Dip it in.
I don't really do the dipping sauces.
Oh my god!
But the
no ranch.
Well, ranch is okay. We can. I get a totally different discussion now. Ranch is horrendous.
I've been
on the record plenty of times saying that how bad ranch is, and I stand.
You're
by
talking to the biggest ranch advocate in the entire world.
I tried not to bring it up.
That is not well. It is now a topic of discussion, and that is just disappointing. That's worse. Than you not liking, I mean, because I also don't like deep dish pizza. So, yeah, obviously this is worse. But that is more just like a shot to my person. Like, that's a shot through the heart, man.
That's fine. A lot of people say that. And then they eat ranch. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm glad I gave them a shot through the heart because that's bad.
It's so good. It's so bad for me.
It tastes bad. It's so bad for you. There's no good elements of ranch. It's never good in any situation.
That's how
ever.
Good it is because even though it's that bad for you, there's just zero chance in the world I will ever, ever stray away from it. Used to be a big barbecue guy.
I like barbecue.
Yeah, everyone likes barbecue.
Right.
Until I landed on the ranch and it just opened up my world. You should try a little ranch barbecue infusion.
I'm good.
You are so not good.
Okay. Speaking of pizza toppings, though, this is insanely popular to me. Or no, sorry. It's insane that this is so popular.
Yeah.
Pineapples on pizza, like Hawaiian pizza, or even without, some people do it without the ham. They just do just pineapple. That's crazy.
Yeah, we're in agreement.
It's crazy. We're in agreement. We have the exact same pizza takes. Our co-host, Rachel Frayn, and also our frequent correspondent.
Did they like pineapple?
Yes, they both like pineapple pizza, Connor and Rachel.
What is going on,
Everyone does. It's bizarre, actually.
How can you take something that's supposed to be juicy and cold, refrigerated, put it on a pizza, make it warm, and put it with other salty foods and expect it to taste good?
Here's my take. Fruit outside of tomato sauce should never be on pizza ever.
Which, come on, tomato sauce? Are we going to count that as fruit in this situation?
But like, I don't know. Some people will like cherry tomatoes or like sliced tomatoes on their pizza. I'm out on that. I'm out.
I'm not big on tomatoes anyway.
Right, exactly. I'm not surprised
you're not because we seem to have the same taste of everything except for ranch.
But yeah, I don't get the pineapple thing.
I never have.
It's so bad.
Never will.
It's so bad. And I admit that I'm not like the biggest pineapple fan in general. But it's not the pineapple that is the problem.
It's
the mixture. Ugh, it's bad. It's bad.
I've always told myself like, oh, I wish that I liked fruit on my pizza because everyone does it. But no, let's be honest. I do not. I'm very content with not liking fruit on my pizza right now because it just tastes plain awful.
Agreed.
Are we going with trivia?
It's time.
It's time All right. for
Thank
South
you.
Of Troy trivia.
One.
Right?
You should make that
I'm like Vince Scully.
Okay, question number one. In our lifetime, Connor wrote this, aka since 1995, we are...
That's pre-Max.
Yeah, it's pre-Jackson as well. We're young. Sorry, guys. USC has lost to Notre Dame 8 times. What is USC's record in the following game? I don't know if that means just after the losses or after every Notre Dame game. I think it's just after the losses.
After the loss.
There are hints here. Do we want the hints?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no.
I don't know what this Washington thing is.
I'm assuming that's one of the... did USC tie?
No, I don't know what the heck Connor's typing in here. It's fine. What's USC's record following in that game? So 8 games following a Notre Dame loss since 1995.
What's their record
What's their record?
I mean, you want to go first? You want to give her a shot?
I just think USC's been good, so I'm going to go 6-2.
Yeah... I'm going to go, see, that's the thing is that Washington, we're looking at a thing on the email right now that says Washington 21-21.
I'm pretty intrigued to just say
there was one tie.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm going with 6-1-1.
5-2-1.
I was close.
21-21 in 1995. Connor, with some sort of mistyped, he had an underline here. Is this a link?
It is a link. No, it's a link to Google Maps.
Yeah, it's just a weird Google automatic link. Okay, 5-2-1. We both missed it. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't think either of us would
Next
have
question.
Guessed the tie.
Classic Connor with a trick question.
Yeah, right.
All right, this game will likely decide the winner of the Pac-12 South. Since ASU joined the Pacific Coast Conference in 1978, parentheses, Connor. That's not a trick. I just didn't say pack because it changed from 8 to 10 to 12 or whatever. That's his words, not mine. How many conference titles have both ASU and USC won? To simplify, how many conference titles has ASU and USC won since 1978, respectively?
I feel like
why couldn't you just have written that?
I feel like that's all he needed to say.
Okay. It's 1978, so that's just about 40 years, 39 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not including this one, so 38, I guess. You going to go first?
He should have asked how many have they won and how many have each gotten, because there's no way it's like whatever the number is, USC's got to have like 95% of those victories.
What's your guess out of 38 or 39 or so?
38 or 39. I'm saying USC has 20, ASU has 7.
Wow. You
has 6.
More than half for USC. I don't think it's that many.
I think it's 26.
I'm going to go 14.
Oh, he said respectively.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 26. 20 and 6.
20 and 6. Okay. I'm going to go 14 for USC. 15, actually. 15.
Okay.
Can I change?
You are allowed to change.
15 for USC.
I will allow it.
And 2 for ASU.
Okay.
Ready?
Here we are.
15 and 3. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. We'll give you a half.
I'm taking a ding. I'll add it in post.
Wherever
we don't have our bell, but I'll add it in post.
Ding!
All right, last question. 5 USC players have more net rushing yards than Sam Darnold. Okay, name the 5. Connor wrote some more nonsense in his email.
Yeah.
Okay. Name the 5 players with more net rushing yards than Sam Darnold. He says net because in college, sacks are,
yeah.
Exactly. So Rojo, Stephen Carr.
Rojo, Stephen Carr. I'm going to say Stephen Mitchell, I feel, has gotten a few hints.
I'm pretty sure Velus Jones.
Jones. Aka Cedric Ware.
Okay, no. I don't think it's Stephen Mitchell. I think it's Rojo, Stephen Carr, Velus,
Aka,
Cedric Ware, and Vi.
All right. You want to roll with it? See if we got it?
Oh,
what are we thinking?
So it's number 1 with Rojo, 2nd Stephen Carr, like we said, 3rd Vi, 4th Ced, 5th.
How could we miss that?
Matt
Fink first.
Wow.
He probably did it all on that one run against Oregon State.
Well, that's disappointing. Sam Darnold, 29 rushing yards. He had 250 net rushing yards last year, so not exactly on pace.
No, because they're trying to protect him, keeping him in the pocket. They're not letting him get out and be the player that everyone was used to and everyone fell in love with, because that's what USC's game plan has been this year, and it's clearly not working.
with that, we will we'll see. I mean, next week is going to be an interesting pod.
It will be
interesting. This week we kind of knew what it was going to be. A lot of pessimism after the Notre Dame game, but next week it could go a real variety of ways.
Yeah.
USC could take a tough loss. I mean, and we could be even just more down in the dumps. USC could really turn it on and win by a lot. It could be a bad. I mean,
there's going to be a lot to talk about. So, I mean, our viewers are going to really want to tune in, basically,
listeners,
what we're trying to get at.
Listeners, not viewers.
Do I keep saying viewers?
You do.
Okay. No one can see our voices. So I don't know why I keep saying that, but we're going to roll with it.
Well, for pessimistic Max Goldwasser and
suddenly optimistic,
I wouldn't even say that. just. Even keeled, Jackson Safon. This has been the Sound of Troy podcast. Like I said, SoundCloud, iTunes. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz.
5 stars.
And we will see. I almost said see. We will see you. That's not even remotely correct.
We will. Yeah,
we'll be back next week. We will be back next week.